passage today is from the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 41 to 44. Mark 12, 41 to 44. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come now to sit under your word, we pray that you would open it up to us, that we may receive from you your word, that we may understand, that we may be faithful, that we may rejoice in it. Lord, tune our hearts in to hear you. Lord, we long to hear from you. Amen. We see in the Gospels how Jesus gave sight to the blind. He healed people of their blindness, and he seems to have done it fairly often. We have some specific examples, such as blind Bartimaeus, or the two blind beggars who were calling out to Jesus from the side of the road. Or we simply read that Jesus healed the blind. It seems to have been something that he did fairly often. He would come to a new location, a new town, and people would bring him their sick and their diseased, their lame, their blind, and their deaf, and he would heal them. And this story is actually also about giving sight to the blind, although in a different way. Jesus didn't do any miracle that we read here anyway for the poor widow. She's the center point of the story, but the story is not for her. We don't see Jesus interact with her at all. The miracle of sight was given to his disciples. They are the ones who are given eyes to see this thing that Jesus saw. They are the ones that Jesus is focusing on. The lesson is not for her at all, but for them. And today, Jesus offers us a cure for blindness too. He offers us the gift of sight to see what he sees. Because while we may not be physically blind, such as Bartimaeus, many times in the struggle of life we are spiritually blind. And in our story today, he wants us to see something that perhaps we have not seen before. And he means for it to change our outlook on life, to learn something that is going to bring us joy in the hard times. So let's explore what Jesus offered his disciples and what he is offering us today. What did he want them to see? Well, let's look at our story. In our story, Jesus is watching people give their offerings. Well, first off, that seems a little odd, does it not? I mean, who sits there and watches how much people are putting in the offering box? Well, Jesus does. And not only does he see how much money people are putting in, he sees the heart behind it. These people in the story, they don't know it, but they are being deeply exposed before Christ as they come to bring their offerings. Jesus knows what someone is giving. He knows what someone is withholding, and he knows the real reasons why each one is doing what it is that they're doing. So here is Jesus. He is watching people come and give their offerings, and he sees many rich people come and give substantial offerings. This is big money. This is lots of money. It's the kind of money that gets things done. Someone gives a big check and everyone's impressed. But Jesus isn't. He's not impressed at all. Because he's not interested in the money, no matter how much is being given. He is looking for something else. He is looking at something that no one else can see. And so far, what he has been seeing hasn't impressed him very much, until he sees this poor widow come along. And then suddenly everything changes. When she gives her two small coins, what did he see? Because whatever he saw, it was important enough to him to call his disciples over in order to have them see it too. Something excited him here. And it wasn't about the money. There was something else that he saw that was far more valuable. The point of this story is not about money. The point of this story has everything to do with the difference between what man sees and what God sees. Between what man values and what God values. This story is actually sandwiched between two other very small stories about what man sees. If you look in your Bibles, you're going to see just before this story of the poor widow, you're going to read this little piece about the scribes. And it says there that they love to be seen by men. They love to be seen and honored by men. They are in their fancy robes, at their big feasts, and with their long prayers. They wanted to be seen by men. That's what they were doing. That was valuable to them, to be seen by men doing these things. And Jesus says that they will be condemned for such things. And then immediately after this story, we see the disciples being impressed by the big, fancy temple. Right after the story of the poor widow, we see the disciples calling to Jesus. He has just called to them to show them something, and now they call to Jesus, and they say, look at the temple. Look at these wonderful stones. Look at this wonderful building. This thing is amazing. Look with what you can see. And Jesus tells them that it will be destroyed. It will be of no value. We have here these two stories of what man sees. And here in the middle of our little sandwich, we have a story about what God sees. And that's what we want to learn about today. What was insignificant in the eyes of man was wonderful in the eyes of God. Man was impressed by the robes and the feasts and the long prayers. Man was impressed by the temple and the big stones that built it. And Jesus pushes all of that aside and he calls the disciples to him and says, look at something here that is wonderful to God. That's what we want to learn about today. Jesus says that her two small coins, they are worth more than all the big offerings of the rich. Her penny's worth was more blessed, more valuable in the eyes of God because of her heart behind the offering. That's what Jesus was seeing. She gave all that she had to live on out of faith in her God. So this lesson is less about giving, although it certainly is that as well, but it is more a lesson on what God values and what he sees as blessed. He sees your heart. And the value of your actions, even the smallest of them, is judged by the state of your heart, not the size of what you, the thing that you do, what you accomplish in life. It's not about that. The smallest and most seemingly insignificant action, like what this widow did, when done out of love for God and love for neighbor, now that is more valuable to God than all the money in the world. Those who have come to faith in the living Christ, they have this blessing on their lives, that God receives the smallest of good deeds as pure and holy and blessed because of Christ in you. And the reward is eternal, whether it's two small coins or two small fishes in five loaves of bread, whether it's giving a drink of water to the least of these small things, when done for Christ in faith, are wonderful in God's eyes. It got Jesus' attention here, and he wants us to see it too. Jesus wants us to see the heart, and he ushers the disciples in. And now he calls us to come too, and he says, look, look here, not at the gold, not at the two coins, not at the penny. It's not about that. Rather, come and see this little thing that has been done in faith, out of love for God. Look at that little thing, and you will see what God really values. See what God considers great. It's not the robes and the feasts and the fancy prayers and the temple. See what God considers great. Faith leading to love and good deeds. That's what God values in a person. Faith, leading to love and good deeds. It's not the stuff, it's not the money, it's the heart. So let's think about that a little bit. If this is the lesson that Jesus wants his disciples to learn, what does that mean? Well, here's a few examples to consider. And you can apply this all over. But here's a few examples. Moms, especially moms with little kids. What do you see when you look at your life? What do you see when you look at your everyday routine? Mom, I imagine you see dirty diapers. Most likely, you are looking at the north face of Laundry Mountain. Again, you're looking at various messes. You're looking at dirty dishes. Some of you might be looking at disappointments or stress. What do you see? Do you see tiredness around your eyes when you look in the mirror? Some of you are seeing your first gray hairs, and some of you are seeing your 100th gray hair. What does God see when he sees you pour out your heart for your family? You look at it and it looks like two little coins. It doesn't look like the super moms out there. It's just you, right? But what does God see? He sees your heart. He sees your love as deep as the ocean for your children and your family. He sees the sacrifices that you make, the relationships that are being built. He sees fruit that is going to last for eternity. That's what he sees. He sees the salvation of your children and your grandchildren as you teach them the gospel, as you teach your kids to say, I'm sorry, for the 1,000th time, as you teach your kids to say, I forgive you, for the 1,000th time. He sees your long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you what he sees. He sees real beauty. He sees femininity and all her fruitful glory. He sees you climbing up the north face of Laundry Mountain, and he thinks it's wonderful. It's wonderful to him. What looks mundane to you is glorious in his sight. He sees the two small coins, if you will, that you give every day, and he calls everyone. He says, come. Come and look at you, Mom. Look at this one. God has seen your heart, and he says, do you see her little offering today? She is greatly loved and blessed by God, for she has given all that she has to live on. She has given her life for these little ones, and her reward is great. She is beautiful among the women. Her offering is highly precious in God's sight, and God has honored her. The widow gave all that she had to live on. And when you give your life, the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years that God has given to you to live, you give that to your children, to your family. You are giving all that you have to live on, and God sees that. It is not small. It is not insignificant. Jesus calls the disciples to come and look and see you. Dads, what do you see if you are a father? When you look at your life, I imagine you see bills. You see things to fix around the house, right? You see problems at work, most likely. Perhaps you see a struggle to provide well. You see a struggle to lead. Some of you look at your life and you see shame. You see weakness and fear. Some might see boredom at the routine. And what does God see when he looks at your life, Christian dad, when he sees Christ in you, those two small coins, he sees a man fighting for his family. He sees a man fighting dangerous wolves and prowling lions. He sees the salvation of your children as you read them the Bible. He sees the formation of a community. He sees the formation of a country. He sees a future. In you, Christian dad, he sees courage because he sees Christ in you. He sees sacrifice, a warrior fighting, a shepherd, a soldier, a willingness to suffer for what you love. He sees you laying down your life for those that you care for. He sees the two small coins that you give every day. And he calls everyone to come and look at you. And he says, do you see his little offering today? Here is a warrior. In Christ, here is a man after my own heart. This one is greatly loved and blessed by God, for he has given all that he has to live on. He's given his life to the smallest task, and his reward is great. Here is a man worthy of respect. That is what God sees. When he sees the hearts of men and women fighting to do what is right. Or whoever you are, not everyone is a mom or a dad. Whoever you are, as you struggle in your life, as you struggle with sin, as you wrestle with things, whatever your situation, what do you see? Some would say they see constant failure and temptation, giving in to sin, that weakness. They see those repeated cycles of your life, the tears and the confusion, discouragement. And for those who have put their faith in Christ, God sees the righteousness of Christ in you. He sees that inexorable advance of the Spirit in your life. He sees your victory. He sees your heart as acceptable to him according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. And you have Christ. God has forgiven you and he loves you. He has accepted you. In Christ, you are most loved. He sees the two small coins that you give every day. And he calls everyone to come and look at you. And he says, do you see? Do you see this little offering today? The struggle for holiness. I want you to see this one. This one is greatly loved and blessed by God. They have given what they have to live on. The Spirit is bringing them home. This one is family. God says, that one belongs to me. God sees you. And especially through this time, 2020 being what it was, there are many who struggle with discouragement, depression, loneliness, and tears. There's frustration. There's confusion and questioning, there's some anger, there's the separation. All of these things have piled on all of us this past year. And it's hard to get your eyes off of it, isn't it? It's what you see. And as the disciples were impressed by the temple, we get depressed by the difficulties that we see. Our eyes are on it, and it's hard to pull it off. And Jesus invites us to see what he sees. And in his children, he sees his beloved child. He sees a security, future, and strength. He loves you, and he is with you, and he will carry you through. And he calls us to take our eyes off of those things that discourage and tear us down and put them on Christ, to receive sight from him, to see what he sees, to value what God values. We are not defeated, and we are not alone. What does the world see? And what does God see? That's the point of this passage, this little sandwich of stories that we have. Let God open your eyes like he did for the disciples. The world sees Jesus hanging on a cross. Beaten, bloodied, spit on, disgraced, and dead. They see a laughing stock. They see a loser, someone to make fun of, a failure, a nobody. That's what the world sees. They see death. Nothing at all. What does God see? When he sees his son on the cross, he sees a conqueror, the conqueror, his son. He sees power and victory. He sees life and joy. And not only does he see his son risen from the dead, he sees the church rising from her grave as well. That great golden spire reaching to the heavens, the new Jerusalem. Beautiful and as terrible as an army with banners, a bride pure and true. What does God see? He sees Moses entering the promised land at last. He sees David, forgiven from adultery and murder, walking in freedom and happiness, singing praises. He sees the martyrs alive again. He sees you, believer, forgiven, strong, free, and joyful. That's what God sees when he sees Jesus on the cross. That was the joy that was set before Jesus, and God himself set it there. It was his plan. It was what he was seeing, and he put it there. And he called Jesus to come and see it too. Come and see the joy I have set before you. See what is valuable. And for that joy, Jesus endured his hardships, as do we. We see Jesus. We fix our eyes on him. That perfect sacrifice in him we see. Not the defeat of Christ. We see the crushing defeat of Satan. We see the promise of the garden so long ago. We see it fulfilled. We see eternal joy, honor, and glory. Jesus wants us to see that poor widow. He wants us to see her as blessed, as full of joy, rich and powerful. He wants us to look at each other and see what he sees. Forgiven saints, brothers and sisters, redeemed and blessed forever. What man sees and what God sees are utterly different, but God invites us today to see with new eyes. Today, Jesus invites us to see what he sees and to rejoice in it. So look with new eyes this week, even today, even right now, as you look at the people around you gathered here in our cars. Jesus has called us to see him, but he has also called us to see one another. And I see people who love one another here. People who really care. People who are willing to brave the cold and discomfort of this parking lot in order to catch a glimpse of those that they love and kindle their desire for worship and fellowship together. There are those with hands on the window, tears in their eyes, hungry for the bread of life and the cup of the covenant and the fellowship of the saints. And you have come to see Jesus, to see one another, to see what God sees. Here we are, a small people, two coins. And God says, blessed are you when you gather, for there I am with you. There is power here in our little parking lot that no agent of hell can touch. I tell you, there is more power here than there is in any authority on earth, because God is here and he sees your heart. He knows the longing that you have for this and for so much more than this. I see people here who truly love one another and love being together. Every meager offering that you bring, every little penny of your life is precious. It's not small. It's never small. In Jesus' eyes, it is great. Everyone thought that widow was small. They were impressed by the robes. They were impressed by the temple. And Jesus wasn't. He was amazed at this small, seemingly insignificant thing. It is not small. Coming here to a parking lot gathering is not small. The church has been called to gather, and we have come. That is huge, and it is powerful. And even now, Jesus is calling to the world, and he's saying, come and see. Come and see what these few saints are giving to me. They're two small coins. They give me honor and praise in the public square. And these two small coins are greater than all the gold and of the rich and the powerful. By God's grace, we, right here, right now, are the widow in the story. God has blessed us. We have nothing to offer but our little penny. But as God opens our eyes today, we see that we are blessed. We are rich. We are victorious. Sitting here in our cars in the middle of winter, giving God glory together. That is no small thing. It is beautiful. It is amazing. And Jesus calls and says, come and look. Living our lives for Jesus is no small thing. There are no small deeds of kindness. Not one. Not in Christ there isn't. And Jesus sees each one that you do. And he sees your heart. And though the world think it insignificant, small, not worth noticing, Jesus notices. And it brings him delight. And he calls his people and says, come and look. Look at this one. There are no small deeds of kindness. Each one will ring through eternity and brings with it eternal reward. So, dear believer, you are his loved child, and together we are his people. He is in you. And right now, he is here in us. So let us take encouragement from this story to see what God sees, to keep going, to receive our sight and see it. And together we will continue to bring our penny's worth. And we will see God turn it into something amazing. Of that I am convinced. He notices all of it, and he knows the heart behind it. For he is worthy to be praised, and he will see his name glorified in all the earth. Let his bride rise up to greet him with joy this Lord's day. Truly, there is no better place to be in all the world than with the saints gathered together in the presence of the Almighty God. And so we are this very morning. And this is a picture, a foreshadowing. What will we be doing in heaven? John sees the multitudes gathered, right? They come together and they praise and they worship. That's what we're made for. And here we have a foretaste, just a little bit. And we're hungry for more. And we pray for more. We cry out to God for more. And he knows the cry of your heart. He hears you and he sees you. So receive the blessing of God today and see with new eyes. It is no small thing to pursue him. He sees and he knows. Bring your penny. Bring your hearts and receive this beautiful gift of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you see all that it is that we do, and you receive our little offering. Lord, you receive us, and we are accepted in Christ. You give us joy, and you give us power and strength. Father, we are grateful for this morning, for this gathering, and we give you glory. We have prayed, Lord, that you would allow us to meet more closely than we had online, and here we are. And Lord, we do not come before you without thanksgiving, without praise. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we have this, even if they only feel like crumbs. Lord, we receive them with praise and thanksgiving. You are God, you are great, and you are in control of all things. And as we give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord, we are eager for more. We pray, Lord, that you would gather us more intimately, more deeply. Father, we long. We long for the fellowship of the saints, the bread and the cup, the fellowship, the hugs, the nearness. We long for all of these things, for you have made this for us and given them to us. We ask, Father, that you would restore us completely. But as we wait, Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see that widow who gave all that she had to live on, that was blessed. Lord, that we may come with joy and thanksgiving to receive what you have, to receive your blessing upon us as we give all that we have to live on. With joy, unite this body. Unite us with joy and with love for one another. That we may be found faithful in the days of our trial, full of thanksgiving and praise. That we would not lose heart, that we would not give up. That we would push on into the light, standing on the rock solid gospel given to us. Father, we give you glory as a people. We are yours, and we are here all together, all for Christ, for always. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.